So we're going to go ahead and get started. I'm not going to share any clips with you this week. It's very important that we get to the message. Amen. And I think you are going to be blessed that you did join us tonight. This is hardcore information. It's remarkable to me that God is trusting us with this information. So our true biblical family will continue to remind ourselves of this. Father, the father in the home is the covering. The mother is the heart. And Jesus is our foundation. When these three people, these three aspects are in the family, you have a family that's going to flourish, that's going to grow. Amen. It requires the three. Now, sometimes there are single parents. God can pull double duty and be mother and father in there and help you along. But at the end of the day, this was a true biblical picture of a family. Amen. Glory to God. Building to last. I have to share this one more time. I love this picture. Oh my God. It is so beautiful to me. Unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who built it. Amen. Psalms 127:1. It is very important, people, that God is the master builder of our home. Amen. We want him. He's the one that created family. He's the one that knows how family is supposed to function. So we want him to be involved, amen, in building our home. That requires prayer, that requires a desire to have the Lord be the master builder in your home. It doesn't just happen automatically, as we can see by the state of the world, amen. God created family because he is love. Creating us gave him an outlet for this powerful force, this river of love and kindness to flow to. We were created as the very recipients for the love of our Father God. His kingdom is literally run by faith, hope, and love. That's how much God is a God of love. That his kingdom, the rules that reign there, is faith, hope, and love, people. Family is God's idea. And if it's God's idea, then take heed. Because it should most certainly be important to us as well. It would be safe to say that everything about God is that of establishing a family. He wants his house full. There are scriptures in the Word that he literally says, I have looked to see if there's anybody else, if there's any other gods, and I'm here alone. So he set about building and erecting this entire system where his love that he wants to share with people, that he wants to bestow on us, can be shed to us, amen? So it would be safe to say that everything that he has ever built, that he has ever gone after, is about building a family. You know, God is everything. He's the creator, he's the healer, he's the maker of the universe, all of that. But at the same time, people, he wants love. God wants love. He wants us to love him as much as he loves us. Amen? And that's why he created family. He created family so he could have one, and he created family here on the earth so we could have one. Amen? Praise God. The right approach to these teachings. Psalms 84:12. O Lord of hosts, how blessed and greatly favored is the man who trusts in you, believing in you, relying on you, and committing himself to you with confident hope and expectation. So these are attitudes that we should embrace when approaching the Word, and especially in this teaching. Tonight, guys, I'm going to get really deep. You'll see. But how blessed and greatly favored is that man who trusts in God. Amen? Glory to God. Psalms 94:12. Blessed with wisdom and prosperity. Check this out. Wisdom and prosperity is the man whom you discipline and instruct, O Lord, and whom you teach from your law. We want to be wise. We want to prosper in life. And the way that happens is by allowing the Lord to discipline us and instruct us. Amen. We must never think, if it's scripture, now you have every right to challenge. You have every right to say, you know what? I don't know about that. I'm going to take it to God. I'm going to ask him. The Holy Spirit is in me. He's the Spirit of truth. He's going to show me if this is real. You can do that all the time, and you should be doing it. You shouldn't take any teaching at face value. You should be doing your own research and your own work. But if it is scripture, people, and it lines up with God, and you know that you know it's God, then we all need to be conformed by that scripture. We are all to be instructed. Why be instructed? So that we can know how to be, so that we can know what to do. Amen? Romans 8:1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Now, this is very important, because there is no condemnation if you are doing your best to walk with Christ and to walk according to the Spirit and not the flesh. Amen? This is why we have to be open to church. This is why we have to be open to teaching. This is why we have to be open to instruction. It's because we are seeking and to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, not in the carnal mind. Amen? The husband's first calling is to love as Christ loves. And we've talked about this in length, that, you know, if that's the first part of your mandate, men, is to love your wife as Christ loves the church, then it would behoove you to do a little study or a massive study on love, because at the end of the day, all our works are going to be burned through the fire of love, and everything will be tested through love. Why did we do what we do? I don't know if you know this, but you can't even do ministry for the wrong reasons. You can. It's got to be love. It is about love for people. It's about wanting to help people. So we can do everything to do with God and yet not have our love and our heart invested. Amen. So men, you are to love your wife. A sure sign of a man's strength is how gently he loves his wife. In the same way, you know, men, you tend to be, you know, little soldiers, you know, little warriors, and you march and you're duty oriented and you obey. But it's very important that when you're dealing with your wife, that you are gentle with her, that you love her, that you express that love, because believe it or not, you're investing in her. You are igniting in her the force of love as well. So it feeds itself. Love just feeds itself within the family. The husband loves the Father, the Lord, and then the Lord loves him. The Lord instructs him. He receives the love of God. The man turns around. He loves his wife. And then the wife turns around and loves the children. And it just keeps feeding itself in the family. Amen. So let's look at the scripture. In the same way, you husbands, live with your wives in an understanding way. And, you know, we really need you to understand us, because we are very different from you. It's impossible for you to reject your wife or not accept some of her because she is not like you. You have to understand that she is different from you, and that requires understanding. She's not going to think like you a lot of the times. You know, and that doesn't make us any more, it doesn't diminish us in any way, shape, or form. It just means that we are women, you are men, and we are different. God wanted the difference, amen? And so if you think your wife is weird and she's too different and I don't get her and all of that, just understand that God did that on purpose, you know? And in getting to understand her and setting yourself to love her, you're going to grow big time. So live with your wives in an understanding way, with gentleness and tact. You know, she is your disciple, you know, and you don't want her to come up as a disciple that's brutish and harsh and, you know, all of these things. You know, she should be able to express the love of God as much as you should. So with great gentleness and tact, and with an intelligent regard for the marriage relationship. When you are dealing with your wife, realize this is bigger than her. In this moment, how I handle this situation is affecting our marriage. This is much bigger than the immediate, amen? And then if it affects the marriage, it's going to affect the home, it's going to affect the walks, it's going to affect your testimony, it's going to affect the children. So it's very important. So as with someone physically weaker, since she is a woman, show her honor and respect as a fellow heir of the grace of life. She is your fellow heir. She is no less in the eyes of God than you are. She is your fellow heir in Christ, so that your prayers will not be hindered or ineffective. Look at how high a premium God puts on a man loving his wife properly. Is that he literally says that if you do this right, your prayers will not be hindered. Your prayers will not be ineffective. So if our prayer life is going unanswered and we're not seeing testimonies coming up all the time, it's time to check how you are loving your wife, men. God knows what he's doing, and he did that on purpose, amen, as an incentive to keep you in the straight and narrow. Listen, it's hard to love another person. Sometimes it's hard to love ourselves. And so when you're dealing with someone that's very different from you, you're a woman, he's a man, you know, he thinks this way and you think that way, and he grew up this way and you grew up that way. All these differences, it's going to be a challenge. But God gives us incentives such as answered prayer, men. The husband's second calling is to be the protector. Man as a protector is a twofold mission. He's a natural protector and he's a spiritual protector. Every man should set himself to say, you know, if someone ever broke into our home or whatever, I'm going to be the first one at the front of the line. I've seen links, people, where the husband would jump and scream. I'm not kidding you. And he would say, go find out what's going on. Go. There's a bat behind the door. Go to the lady. That's not God's will. Amen. And then he's a spiritual protector. As the natural protector, a man should understand he doesn't protect his woman because she is weak. He protects her because she is important. Men, protect your wife. You know, maybe at the moment you might say, she's not important to me right now. She's been a little nightmare, and it's been hard to walk with her and hard to love her. But you know what? She's important to God. She is important no matter how you see it. And if you have children, believe it or not, she's important to your lineage. So start loving her. Amen. Start protecting her. The spiritual protector. And this is where we're going to take off. Hang on to your hats. This is going to be a little bit of a bumpy ride. Okay. So this is where we left off last time. I literally stopped with this thing. And then I changed the middle of it. A narcissist wants the authority of a king while having the accountability of a toddler. And I grew up in a generation, people, and in my culture, I mean, most of the women were the religious ones, and the men stayed home. They didn't want to bother reading the Bible. They didn't want to bother going to church. And, you know, but they were the men, you know, and there's even songs about, I am the man, I am the law, you know, and there's a real desire to hang on to that position, but then there's no accountability on his part for his life. That's not God. In the world, man wants to enjoy the blessings of God while being the leader of the head of the household. But with that position comes God's plan and design that should be followed. If a man does not follow the wisdom provided for this God-given position, there will be a tendency to esteem the position and the status more than the calling that comes with this position. God has called you men into the place of being the protector, of being the covering. That's a calling. That's not a, well, if you want to, you know. No, it's a calling. And it comes with the position of being the leader and the head and all of that. A true leader carries accountability. And that accountability for his life must always go to his God first and foremost. Then to his partner in life, his wife, and then to his family. Men, you ought to be accountable to others. Man, let's continue. Man is not a free agent. He is a servant. He is the example. He is a son of God, created by God and called by God for this specific purpose. He is God's baton handler. And I'm going to be talking tonight off and on about holding the baton. The baton that I'm talking about is God, is His Word, are His commandments, are His teaching. And you are very important to God because, believe it or not, you are here on the earth to hand down the baton of faith. That is the number one reason. Listen, God has such a huge picture of what He's doing. This earth is nothing but like the first day of preschool, if we can even say that. We're going to continue to grow and evolve and accomplish so much for God. But right now on the earth is your time to prove how much you're going to trust God and His Word. Some of this teaching might not be making sense to you. I heard one person say, you know, I don't know about this teaching because my wife will never get in line. You know, that's not trusting the Scripture. That's not trusting God. That's not even trusting us as pastors. That's not even Him trusting His wife. No, this whole thing will only work if you can set yourself to trust God, because His plan is massive. It's huge. It's beautiful. And it's meant to set us up for an eternity with Him. Why would any decent believer even struggle choosing and trusting God's Word over this world? I love this picture. You've got the right way and the wrong way. And I hope that by now you are starting to be convinced, especially because of the state of the world, that going the world's way is not the right way. The world is already tainted. The world has been corrupted. And Satan is the ultimate narcissist. He's selfish. He's self-centered. All he thinks about is his agenda. You know, and God's way is completely the opposite of that. We begin to embrace serving. We begin to embrace loving. We begin to embrace the reality that I'm here on the earth. And I love saying this. It's, to me, it's absolute truth. It's truth in my life that our time on the earth is to prove who we've chosen to be. You know, and I don't mean that you get to choose like, oh, I'm going to be an actress. Oh, I'm going to be very popular. Oh, I'm going to be, you know, sleeping around, whatever it is. No, that's not what I mean. What I mean is, have you chosen to be a child of God? Or have you chosen to be a child of the devil? And Jesus literally told that to some people He was talking to. He said, you are of your father, the devil. So we have this time on earth to prove who we're really following. And one of the things that I'm trying to get to us to understand is who we're dealing with in regards to God. People, we have no concept of the magnitude of God and how real. And He's all powerful. He's almighty. He is the one that will have the last word, people. You know, I just was listening to the Word getting ready, and the Lord literally said, He said, don't be afraid of those who can kill the body and afterwards can do nothing else. He said, I forewarn you who to fear. Fear Him who is able to destroy your life, and then cast you into hell. We're dealing with a God, people, that is not playing games, a God that is very precious, very loving, very patient, very forgiving. But when the time comes, He will deal business. Amen. He's not going to play. He doesn't have favorites in that respect. That, oh, we get to do whatever we want and He's going to be okay with that. No, He's not. You know, and unfortunately, right now, there are books being written about our lives, people. Some of you have one or two little books. Some of you have a whole library already of your good works and the many times that you bent backwards like steel, trying to love, trying to build, trying to help, you know, the cause of God, which is, you know, to preach the Word and reach others and minister to others. You know, we've got a lot to do here, people. So choose today, for heaven's sakes, choose whom you're going to serve, as Joshua said, amen. And then he goes on to say, as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord, amen. And please, men, remember that word, household. There's no way that a man can be the holiest, the most awesome servant, you know, maybe became a missionary and saved half the world and then forsook his family. That is not existent in God's plan. Amen? It's just not. Man's dilemma. Most men want to have children with the accompanying honor of having his lineage continue. So God honors that godly desire. It's a godly desire to want that. God put it in us to continue the race of mankind. Psalms 127. Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is a reward. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior, so are the children of one's youth. Happy is the man who has a quiver full of them. But in the world, man tends to live his life consumed by his work and career and even other things. Some men are obsessed with golfing, obsessed with sports, and they will drop everything for the sake of that. So tend to be consumed by his work and career or other things, and not those lives that God has gifted and entrusted him with, and that he will give an account for to God when he stands before the Lord on that day. Now, remember, there's no condemnation. This is new. This is, I'm starting to hear other ministers give inklings of what God is leading us and showing us to right now in this teaching. So there's no condemnation. Bill and I didn't teach that. I don't know how we did it. We ended up falling into this because we sold out to the word. We ended up doing all of this without even knowing what we were doing. It works, people. It absolutely works. But at the same time, just know and understand that it's not been taught in the church in general. We were not taught this. Nobody, we went to many marriage seminars. We ended up stopping because they were so goofy. I mean, honestly, it was not meaty at all. I don't even want to get into it. Anyway, so understand that there's no condemnation, okay? We are looking at a brand new world. And we're barely looking at it. So there's no way that even overnight you're going to be able to change your life. This is a directive. This is a guide for you for the future. While as long as we're on the earth, perhaps we can set ourselves to start fulfilling this. Amen? Man, inadvertently, by accident, does this of selling out to his career and his job. And most men, like 99.9%, go out and prosper and work hard and everything because they want to provide. That's one of the callings that God has given man, is to be a provider. It's not a bad thing. It's just got to be put in its place. Amen. It's just like children. Children are not bad at all, but they've got to be put in their place. Your mate is not your God. Your mate is not your all in all, but they've got to be put in their place. Amen? So man inadvertently, accidentally does this without truly understanding the magnitude that in doing so, in selling out to something else other than the lives that God has given us, he is letting someone else raise his lineage, his rewards from the Lord. He is literally turning over his eternal legacy, because when we cross over, people, we are going to know each other as family. Bill and I will know each other as husband and wife. I don't know if we'll be together. I don't know if we're going to live together. And my children, when I run across Andrea or Brian up in heaven, we're going to know. Brian's going to know me as his mother. Amen. And he's going to know Bill as her dad. These are eternal relationships. So he is literally turning over his eternal legacy to someone else. And that holy place belongs only to him, the father of those children, the father of that home. Therefore, someone else is forming their hearts, souls, and spirit, conscience, morality. This is what is completely normal in the world. We let mostly teachers and educators, schools, and even Sunday school and the world form the core person of our child. Somebody say amen. We all did it. We didn't know. This is the way of the world. And in fact, in the world, the higher you climb up on the food chain, on the career establishment, the more you are worshipped by people around you. God sees this completely different. In fact, I will tell you right now that God's kingdom is completely the opposite of this world. What this world esteems as good is evil. And then we look at God and we're like, well, I don't understand that. How can that possibly happen? And that's not fair. It's like the guy with the one talent. He went and hid it. And when the Lord came, he said, I knew you to be an austere person. And so I hid your money and here it is back to you. He didn't go and do business with what God had given him. Amen. And he thought that God was unfair to require anything from him. The enormous perplexity, this is where my compassion and God's compassion comes on you. The enormous perplexity of man as a spiritual leader. How in the world am I supposed to do all this? Love my wife as Christ would, be her physical protector and that of my family as a whole, be her spiritual protector and that of the family as a whole, do ministry because everybody's called, everybody has a ministry, and then serve in my church, and then work to provide. How am I supposed to accomplish all this in one lifetime? I will have no life. I will not be able to work, thus provide. If I do everything that God is telling me to do, how am I ever going to work? I will not be successful because I can't use my talents and my abilities to keep climbing the ladder because I'm going to be very busy with other things. I will not advance in life. I will not. And I totally understand. Because when we talk to the women, there are things that God is asking of us that we're going to say, how in heaven's name am I going to do this? Now we got to ask ourselves, is God unfair? Is God dumb? That he doesn't know what he's talking about. We've got to ask ourselves, how much am I going to trust this God who is asking these things of me and expecting me to be able to do it? It's going to require. It's just like when we got born again. Man, we were all into the world. We were party hardies. You know, some of us, well, not me, but some people were sleeping around. Some people were drinking all the time. We were doing all kinds of things, right? How does God expect me now to be holy, to walk with him, to go to church as much as I can, to submit to leadership, and all these other things that he's asking of me? You know why, people? Because this is how far we fell at the fall of man. Adam was brilliant. He was able to do it all. And he submitted himself to the enemy. And we became stupid. We became dull. And we became very inefficient in life. And, this teaching is going to take us somewhere. I'm telling you, I can't get ahead of myself. But I have compassion on you men, because how am I going to do all of this and still be able to provide and work? This world's ways do not work. And people, that's how a lot of homes are. They smile, they give the appearance of being okay when you're around them. If they go to a party, everybody seems to be okay, you know. And the reality is that they're literally drying up and dying on the vine. But look at the other side. This is where it gets good. This is where the miracles happen, people. When we go into the land of the living, into the land of God, into the land of the Word, miracles will happen in your life the minute you receive these teachings or the Word. Do your own research and start walking in those things. Isaiah 55:8. For the thought, my thoughts are not your thoughts. God lets us know right away, listen, you are not me. You could never be me. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth. How high is the heavens, people? We don't even know where heaven is. It's so high up in the atmosphere. And he is saying, for as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. For as the rain comes down and the snow from heaven, and do not return there, they don't go back up to heaven, but water the earth and make it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. Now look at this. We're talking about God being smarter than us, wiser than us. His thoughts are brilliant. We are worms. We are below worms. We are amoebas next to God, people. And that's why his ways seem so overwhelming. I mean, if I were to ask a little worm, you know, I need you to build a house for me, that worm would say, how? Never. I could never. That's kind of how it feels. And I understand that. I really do. But look at what he says. It shall not return to me void. His word will not return to him void, which means useless and without result. Now, we want results, people, because, again, books are being written about our lives. And results means you have fruit on your tree. And every tree that does not bear fruit is cut down and cast into the fire. When we get up there, people, we must have beautiful fruit. Not tiny little apples, you know, that you can barely see. No, beautiful, luscious fruit that was watered by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So it shall not return to me void, useless, without results, but it shall accomplish what I please. I love that. And it shall prosper, which means be good, go over, break out in the thing for which I sent it. So if we want our families to be good, go over, and break out in greatness, then let's let the word take form and root in our hearts. Amen? But in today's world, can man really live up to the position and calling that God has given him? This world, people, oh, wait till I talk about the devil and what he did. This guy is so shrewd. He is a million steps ahead of us. And he knew exactly what he was doing and what he was going after. And it's all a counterfeit to what God wants to give you. The answer is simple. But it only becomes complicated and impossible when we don't understand the will of God and we choose our way of doing things. When you say to yourself, you know what, I don't understand all this, I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing, then life is complicated. Life will be very hard. But when you set yourself to do it God's way, believe it or not, it's the easiest way. Because God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, the angels, you, your prayer life, all of it going to affect people. You're not going to be alone. Looking at them, Jesus said, with people, as far as it depends on them, it is impossible, but not with God. For all things are possible. Possible meaning powerful or capable with God. Matthew 10:27. So it is possible. If it's the word, you can do it. What makes it hard is how much of the world we have in us. Because doing the word is doable, especially for a son of God, a child of God. God expects us to do the word, people. Amen? And when it's hard, whenever you find yourself, this is a good word for somebody listening tonight. If it's about forgiveness or walking in love or letting the past go, if it's hard for you to do, it just shows how much of the world you have in you. Because when you're in the word and you're seeking to follow God and you love God, it's going to be a lot easier for you to do that. Amen? God's plan is staggeringly simple. Staggeringly simple. If you do, this is what God would say to us people. This is in his word. He basically says these things. If you do my will and put me first, I'll take care of you because now you trust me and now we're partners. Now you've entered into covenant. Did you know that covenant really doesn't come fully manifested until you've entered into partnership with God? You will have moments where you, like, part to me, covenant includes all the blessings of God and then some, where he'll open doors that no man can close. He will help you climb higher and higher. Amen? But you cannot enter into covenant without being into partnership with God. How do we partner with God? Am I going to go create other worlds like him? No, you're going to do the word in your home, starting with your home. Amen? You're going to start partnering with God and the word. Now you've entered into covenant. Now there's no limit to what I will do for you. And people, I've seen this with my own eyes. It's been very, very seldom, but when people really sell out to God, God takes care of them. God pushes them forward. God multiplies and blesses. Amen? It works. It works. This is precisely why Father Abraham was so highly favored and blessed by the Lord without limits. God knew Abraham would pass down the spiritual baton into his clan and therefore into the world. God highly rewards this kind of baton carrier. Are you kidding me? It's like carrying the Holy Grail, the Ark of the Covenant. You are handing this down to the next generation and the next generation. Three generations down, we are always affecting. Who we are right now is affecting three generations down. Absolutely. And God doesn't want you to say, oh, us four and no more. We're taken care of. We're saved. You should be praying for the clan, for the aunts, the uncles, the cousins, everybody that's in the clan, that they come into the Lord. Nobody gets born again unless we pray, people. And unless the good news is preached to them. Genesis 18:19. This is what God said about Abraham. For I have known him in order that he may command his children and his household after him. Command. Command. Oh, little Johnny didn't want to go to church today, so we stayed home and we went to Chuck E. Cheese. Oh, you know, the kids get bored with the word, so they wanted to go and find a simpler church. People, we are to rule in our homes, especially from zero, from when they are born, you start putting the word in the background. My children grew up with the word in the background. The word, praise and worship songs, you put them in the background. And from zero to about maybe 14, you continue to hold that line that as long as you live in my house, you will go to church. We will attend the word. We will pray together as a family. But look at this, what God says about Abraham, for I have known him, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, that they keep the way of the Lord, to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. God made many promises to Abraham. He's literally called Father Abraham. And we are blessed with the blessings of Abraham in our covenant people. That's how far God blessed this man, because he knew he could trust Abraham to teach his children and to continue to educate them in the ways of the Lord. Now, this is where it's going to get good, and we're going to depart from the natural. This is the crux of God's original plan for man. He gave me this. I'm not even kidding you. I would have gone in a completely different direction, and he took over. This is what God is after in every man on this planet. Number one, or first, I will create man because I want a family of my own. Like a father loves his children, so I want the blessing of loving my own children and having them love me in return. So you were created out of love. You're a love child. We all are, amen. God loved us and sent us forth. Next, I will create man in my image, in my likeness, so that he can truly walk with me and be my actual child. God didn't want... You know, there's a difference between the angels. They are a race of beings, but they are mostly servants. God created us to be family. We are different from the angels, people. God wanted his family, and we are it. So he made us in his image, in his likeness. It doesn't mean that we are God. I will never say that. That's blasphemous, and that's a doctrine from the pit of hell. But we were created like him, so we can relate to him and he can relate to us. So he will carry many of my traits: authority, power, brilliance, wisdom, godliness, holiness, fearlessness, and supernatural ability, and so on. It just goes on. What God has put in you men as traits, because you are a son of God. We have not understood our position with God. We have not understood our identification with God. We are crushed by this life and everyday living and everything that happens and all the distractions and all our little loves, that we do not understand how brilliant we have been created. Next, and therefore, like me, he will never die, never get sick, never know evil or sin, never be enslaved, never be destroyed, and so on. That was his original plan. Obviously, we are far from that now, after the fall. I'm giving you God's mind in the beginning. I have scriptures for all of this. He wanted me to go right to the heart of the matter and then branch out with the scriptures next time. So next, I have given man purpose. Without purpose, especially godly divine purpose, all existence is vanity and self-consuming. He gave me that. I'm not kidding you. We have been sent here with a purpose. Man, woman, child, baby. We all have a purpose. Every tree has a purpose. The sand has a purpose. The rain has a purpose. Everything God creates has a purpose. But if we don't know our purpose, we will live a life of vanity and self-consumption. And self-consuming. Next, everything I create carries a purpose. Everything. God does not waste a thing. Not a thing. If it's been created, that means it has a purpose. It has a purpose, people. You have a purpose. Everything I create carries a purpose. This purpose gives meaning, direction, achievement, and partnership with it. Now, who wouldn't want meaning, direction, real achievement, and partnership? Who wouldn't want that with God? Next, this purpose, this work that I will give man will be the very basis for father and sons to work together and form partnership together and rejoice together in the accomplishments to come. This is where it gets really precious, people. When we embrace our purpose, when we embrace the will of God, that's when we become father and sons, working together on the earth. How was Adam in the garden before he fell? Total communion with God, fellowship in the cool of the evening. They were family. Next, man will be the ruler over the earth and his home, but not the kind of ruler in the natural, according to the world. That's a dictator. That's a tyrant. That's a self-importance person. No, we rule spiritually over the earth, his home, just as I rule over heaven and all creation. He will subdue, he will keep the earth, his home, protected from the enemy, keeping him under his feet. This is what God wanted. Next, as man fulfills his part with me, covenant will supernaturally go into effect for him. Whatever he touches will not fail. It will bear much fruit, and he will increase and multiply in life without any of the increase costing him dearly. When we set ourselves to do things in the natural, it's going to cost us, people. You know how many men have died young or didn't the wife outlasted them? It's because they gave their entire life force to make it in life, to climb the ladder. That was not God's way. God's way has always been covenant, people. Look at Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord brings true riches, and he adds no sorrow to it, for it comes as a blessing from God. So God will prosper, and God will give you true riches, all out of covenant. Next, this covenant is all inclusive. The covenant that we all stand to gain by trusting God first and foremost, believing that we stand in righteousness with him, that we can go into covenant, that we're not miserable worms and sinners. When we stand in our covenant, you begin to understand that it is all inclusive. It will cover every aspect of your life. This covenant is how I will protect, provide, and commune heart to heart with man. Next, it is only through the fulfillment of this purpose that true covenant relationship is birthed. God's smart, people. God's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Hebrews 11:6. And he puts this before you. I will do all of this for you if you will do this for me. God needs our help on the earth. God can't just show up and take over this planet. He needs our help. Amen? So that's our part to help him in his worthy cause. Next, I will even give man a helpmeet, a partner on the earth, through which they both will fulfill my will, and thus both will be highly blessed. So God even gives you, men, a helper, your wife, your partner, to fulfill the purpose of God on the earth. Next, and this partner will be taken out of him, out of his very own person, so that there can be absolute intimacy and cleaving, true acceptance, true fellowship, true partnership, and true love for one another, because they are one. People, when God sees your marriage, he sees you as one. You are one. God has made this so, so intimate, people. So intimate. Even in the marriage bed, we must become one. We must cleave. We must cling to one another. He wants this to be very, very close and intimate. Ephesians 5:28. Even so, husbands should and are morally obligated to love their own wives as being, in a sense, their own bodies. He who loves his own wife loves himself. For no one ever hated his own body, but instead he nourishes and protects and cherishes it just as Christ does the church. You are to nourish, you are to protect, you are to cherish, just as Christ does that to you, men. See how fair God is? He's not asking you to do anything that he doesn't do to you. Amen? At the very core of this divine purpose that God gave man is the very heart of the matter. It's the whole point of the purpose in the first place. I pray this is going to be clear. I pray I can deliver this the way God gave it to me. Here we go. And man's purpose is to protect the earth and your home through your God-given supernatural authority for the purpose of keeping the enemy out of your life and your wife and your lineage and your future and your success and even your eternity. Man is called to be the spiritual leader and the spiritual protector more than and above any other thing he will ever do, even above ministry. You know how many pastors' kids have gone full on into the world? Because even ministers will sell out to that and forsake the very lives, his own lineage, to get that done. I've heard pastors' kids say, I don't know who that man is. I don't know who my dad is at all. And now, even sadder, I cannot begin to tell you the number of times that I've heard young men and young women say, I don't know my dad. I don't know who he is. We are one. We are family. We are to be vulnerable with one another. We are to learn to love one another and forgive one another and cleave to one another. People, when does God forsake you? God wants you to know him. He does everything in his power to show you who he is. His word is nothing but a love letter to you. So even in ministry, we can think, oh, I'm serving the Lord. I'm doing something really great here. You know, God's very pleased. None of you are forsaking those who are in your home. Kenneth Hagin used to say this. I'm not going to go out and save the whole world and lose my kids to hell. There's a balance. There's a balance to everything. So continue. This will be how I can remain their God generation after generation. This is how I will be the center of man's world. This is how I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This is a huge picture, people. this isn't just about you fulfilling God's will. It's not just about your little family. It's about keeping God in this world. How much do we need God in this world, people? And we do it through people. We're not going to go up in heaven, grab God, and bring him down and say, okay, God's on the earth now. We can't do that. It's done through people. People to people to people to people. Amen? Now, continuing with God. I am good and I am kind. And I am the one that created every living thing and every living person. Is it not right that I remain their God? Is it not right that they, being my creation, should serve and follow their creator? Is it not right that everything to do with man is something that I can speak to, that I can have an opinion about? That I can have input to? Is it not right, people, that God take his place as the one that created us? Listen, when your children were young, oh man, you had everything to say about everything in their lives. You had input everywhere. Why do we deny God that place? We are his children. He created us. Now, continuing, now the enemy is wicked and despicable. So man must earnestly keep Satan out of his affairs completely by keeping me as the center of his existence, his family, and the earth. This is something that we need to understand. God said this to me. There's only me and Satan to choose from. God is God. And Satan is a counterfeit, little fake, little G God. Psalms 24:5. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. Who? This is the generation description of those who diligently seek him and require him as their greatest need, as those who seek your face. So he will receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of their salvation if we diligently seek him, choose him, want to please him, do his will, all of that. Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, hear, O people, the Lord is our God. The Lord is one, the only God. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and mind and with all your soul and with all your strength, which is your entire being. You shall teach them diligently to your children. What? Impressing God's precepts, his laws, his morality, his doctrines, impressing God's precepts on their minds and penetrating their hearts with his truths, and shall speak of them when you sit in your house and when you walk on the road and when you lie down and when you get up, pretty much all the time. And you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, which is your forearm, and they shall be used as bands, frontals, frontlets, that's on your forehead. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates. What is this saying? That we're going to have the word everywhere. We're going to be teaching at all times. Every opportunity we get, we talk about God. We bring God into the picture. And not by happenstance, you know, oh, we're in the car, it's a little boring. Hey, kids, what did you learn in church today? No, it is intentional where you use the opportunity to teach your children. Amen? Exodus 20:1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt. The world. God brought you out of the world. out of the house of bondage. Bondage is slavery to sin and Satan. You shall have no other gods before me. Now listen carefully. Our God is what we focus on the most. What consumes our thoughts and time and energy. We have to be very careful, people. Whether it be our jobs, whether it be our friends, whether it be our social life, whether it be the television, whatever it is, whatever consumes the majority of your focus, your thoughts, your time, your energy is a god. It is a god. And guess what? Those things are keeping you from God. We're getting close to the rapture. We're going to have to make this a reality in our lives, that God is the most important thing. Talk about God. Talk about a scripture you don't understand. Brainstorm it together when you're sitting around the dinner table. Oh, guess what, guys? I saw this scripture. What do you think it means? Have fellowship as much as you can. Pastor Eva, it's too late. My kids, they're 13, 11, 12, on up. They think they know it all. It is never too late. It is never too late. Remember, God's word prospers in the thing that he sent it for. Amen. And then 4, you shall not make for yourselves a carved image, which is any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me. I don't hate God. Look at what that means. Who choose to serve other gods. What's taking your time? What's taking the majority of your thoughts? What's consuming your energy? These are all gods. God must be the core and center of our everyday lives, people. Verse 6, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. I think I'm painting a good picture here of how serious God is about this, people. We've lost our way. We are so far gone that this world is self-destructing. We are so far gone that we call evil good and good evil. We are so far gone that thinking about doing this in the will of God is like an impossibility. How will that ever happen? That's how far gone we are. I'm going to read just these two scriptures and we're going to stop. Exodus 34:6. And the Lord passed before him and before Moses and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, by no means clearing the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers. What is the iniquity? Of keeping other gods. There is not going to be any greater sin in our lives than the fact that we had other gods in our hearts. And God maybe came down the line, or maybe wasn't part of it at all. Amen? So visiting the iniquity of the fathers, of keeping other gods, upon the children and the children's children to the third and the fourth generation. This is a side note. The generational outcome of two men is a cautionary tale. They did a study of these two men, people. And they wanted to really study this because these were men that were known in this particularly smaller town. And they wanted to know why things turned out the way they did. One man ended up having people in Congress, people in service, people in church, people that were always proactive in helping others and feeding the poor and so on, never had any criminal records, none of it. Then they looked at this other man who had just as big of a clan as the other man. And he had people that were murderers, they were drug addicts, they were in and out of prison, they were very poor, they were into drugs, always drinking, all of that kind of stuff. And they wanted to know what was the determining factor here? And guess what they found out? The one guy that produced all these generations of tremendously powerful people was a man that chose to raise them up in God. He chose God. God was the center of that entire clan. And when God is the center of an entire clan, you better believe you're going to produce powerful human beings, people of purpose, people that give, people that are self-sacrificing. Amen? So this is why he says, if you have other gods, man, that's an iniquity. That's a transgression. And you're going to, he says, I'm going to visit the second and third and fourth generation. No, ironically, it's going to be your own sowing into your clan. And that's why you're turning people out like this. Now, I have to make a distinction here. You can be investing a lot in your kids and they can be stellar. They can be, you know, awesome, you know, in careers and awesome in this and awesome in that. Are they awesome in God? Are they following God? Do they worship God? Do they read the word? That's what God is after, people. And listen, the day's coming quickly where we're going to find out that everybody that said, Lord, Lord, and never did his will is not of him. He doesn't know them. God has to know you before he allows you into his family. Amen? And so please do not be deceived thinking, oh yeah, I'm kind of like the good guy. You know, I've got all these good people and all the, you know, everybody's doing really good and we, you know, we do a lot of good stuff. No, it has to come from God. God has to be the center of every person's life, people. Verse 12. Take heed to yourselves, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land where you are going. In other words, the world. What are we in covenant with, people? Some people might say, who are we in bed with? Who have we married ourselves to? You know, lest it be a snare in your midst, but you shall destroy their altars. See, we are to be breaking down all the altars and fake gods, break their sacred pillars and cut down their wooden images. For you shall worship no other god, for the Lord, whose name is Jealous, is a jealous God, lest you make a covenant with the inhabitants of the land, and they play the harlot with their gods and make sacrifices to their gods. Oh, that is so strong, people. That is so strong. God in the Old Testament would tell Israel, I want you. You are my gem. You are the apple of my eye. I love you. I would gather you to me as a hen gathers her brood, but you are a harlot in the world. People, when we sell out to the world and we do it the world's way, God calls it prostitution, harlotry. We are sleeping with the enemy. This is very serious, people. I know why God's having me teach this. He needs this truth in the land. And then also, we've got to get ready for him. We are off. All of us are off. We've got to get back to the God of our salvation, to the one that we remember when we first got born again, how in love we were with God. We've got to get back there and then some. Amen. Because now we know the word. I love you very much. Thank you for joining tonight. We're going to go ahead and close up. Bless you for joining us. And listen, it ends really well. Don't be overwhelmed. Don't skip the next one. I promise you that God has a way of making it happen for you. Amen. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to feel guilty. None of us are doing this perfectly at all. We're all going to learn and we're all going to do it. Amen.